back to the Jeff Porter Show. Nothing to talk. 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Broadcasting live at Alabama State House. 251-343-0106 will be in touch with the program. Still to come, Clyde Chambliss about an hour from now. Also, Reed Ingram and State Senator Arthur Orr at 11 o'clock hour. So please stay tuned for that. But joining us now, one of our own here from Mobile County. Glad we could get him back on, but he represents you guys in the south part of Mobile County. State Senator David Sessions is with us. Senator, how you been?
Been doing well, Jeff. Glad to be with you. And glad to sit down with you face-to-face.
That's the first time on the phone, yeah. Well, we'll get into some issues here in a moment, but how's Sessions going for you?
It's going pretty good. We had Representative Wilcox and myself had a bill that our district attorney helped us with, closing a loophole on hit-and-run drivers. There was a little loophole there in the judiciary, and we got that closed up, got that passed early on. The governor signed it, so very proud of that piece of legislation.
Well, so like this point in the session, you have a bill already on the, you know, listed, right? That's progress.
That's right. You know, we knew that that was important to our area and to our constituents back home, and we jumped on it early, and the earlier the better, before the train can run off the track, so to speak.
Yeah, well, it sounds like maybe that one's been in the works for a while, too.
It had been. Yeah. We had started working on it off session. We had almost had a final draft, I would say, day one, and had to do just a little bit of tweaking once we got started, but we had it pretty nailed down.
Well, talk to us about it. It's hit and run and closes the loophole. Exactly for our listeners, what is that?
Yeah, well, we've had two people killed in Mobile County. One of them was a college student going to South Alabama, was out on O'Shell Road. Right. The driver actually hit him, got out of his car, went around, looked at the victim, and didn't render aid, got back in the car and left. Because he left the scene, basically the only thing he could be charged with was leaving the scene, although the victim wound up dying. And it was just a tragedy. Had he stayed and helped, perhaps he could have saved the young man's life. But had he stayed and been tested for alcohol or drugs, it right. could have been negligent homicide or something further. So basically, there's a loophole there that was rewarding people for leaving the scene of an accident and getting caught later. So we kind of closed that down. So if they do it now, the penalty is much stiffer.
Gotcha. Let's talk about this. And, you know, here we are. It's federal politics, national politics, but they always kind of lean on your expertise here. These input costs, the ag community, and, you know, this price of oil, especially the price of diesel that's coming along with that. As if there wasn't already a crunch underway, what are you anticipating here?
Wow. Hey, I hope the conflict in Iran can get over sooner rather than later. You know, I don't think we depend on any of their oil, but it's 20% of the supply in the world's pipeline, right. So it affects our prices. You know, you see these $5 diesel on the way up here. I was looking at the stations, diesel already $5, and that's huge on our economic impact. I mean, it's going to create a little bump in inflation here. And, you know, I'm just hoping and praying that we get out of there, like I said, sooner rather than later.
Yeah, because that's what it looks like to me. This is, the longer this goes on, the worse it is for the economy. And there's always the political implications, but everything associated with farming is tied to energy. And that's one of the things that kind of triggers me when you try to find that Alabama perspective on this. Sure, we feel it at the gas pump. That's unquestionable. But then you already look at agriculture and the struggles here. Now, you know, you and I have talked about this over the years a lot. Are things easing? Like, kind of, are you, you know, bearish on farming still, maybe like you were a couple of years ago?
It is. It hasn't really eased any. You know, we're not the powerhouse in agriculture production that we used to be. You have other countries that are producing a lot of product now, Argentina, Brazil. I mean, they're clearing land like crazy and just increasing their production along with increasing their infrastructure. So back in the 80s when we had the issue, we were still the world leader. We were still the breadbasket right. of the world. But that is kind of slipping, and it's really sad that, honestly, I can see our grain production at some point in the future being imported instead of being a major exporter.
Well, that's,
and it's really scary.
Right, because that's what we learned during COVID, like when we have these supply chain issues and importing stuff from adversaries or vulnerable entities that you feel it here, food supply is above everything.
It is. And, I've argued of being on the in the agriculture community, and, there's no doubt in the mid-'80s and early 90s, we were dependent on federal subsidies to survive and to help. I mean, when people talk about subsidies, they get a little misunderstanding. It's not a huge part of the farming income, but it can surely make a difference between being able to pay all your bills
right.
and actually getting deeper into your line of credit. I mean, I'll be the first to say that I've always felt that it was more of a food security issue than it was a economic
right.
issue.
It's and a always, national security.
Yeah, I always felt like we should be in the Department of Defense rather than Department of Agriculture.
Because what happens, instability, we see this all over the world when you have hunger, and that's exactly. that leads to political instability, and that leads to
right.
A lot of bad things. Joined by State Senator David Sessions here on the program, this new iteration of the PSC bill, I see everybody's listed on it as a sponsor, so I assume you feel pretty good about where Senator Chambliss is taking this?
I do. I'm going to give a little shout out to Senator Williams, Jack Williams. When the very first bill came out, and I co-sponsored it, and he took a look at it, and he said, why don't we elect those by congressional districts? It'd be more power to the people. They were elected by districts. I said, that's a great idea. And just, being here and been involved for so many years, no one really knew who their PSC representatives were. But once that bill dropped and the people started hollering, you're taking our vote away, I agreed with them. It was taking their vote away. And how can you ask someone to vote for you when you don't want them to vote for something else?
Right.
So I think this putting the power back in the hands of the people, allowing these PSC board members to be elected as they're going, and then within a 4 or 5 year period, all seven of them will wind up being elected. So, and people want to know, well, why did you do appointed? You don't have time to get four more elections in the pipeline that quick. So the three that are already elected, you have, I think the plan is to have four appointed by the governor. Try and appoint them in regions is what I've been told. So that gives you more spread over the state. And like I said, that gives the power to the people all over the state, because currently all three that we do have are from the same congressional district.
What about the creation of a new post, Energy Secretary?
At the end of the day, the buck stops in the state of Alabama with the person across the street,
yeah.
and he's going to be responsible to everyone in the state. So I think it's a positive move. I don't see an issue with it, and I think perhaps there can be a little bit more of an economy of scale by having one person that basically handles all the employees, and you don't have separate commissioners having separate right. staffing.
It's like a board of trustees at a college, and they have a president,
sure.
and then it sort of works through that way, through right. that pipeline.
And then you have somebody responsible 365 days a year, you know. And I think the PSC commissioners would be more of a rulemaking body from recommendations or whatever that Secretary of Energy would be putting before them.
Well, and so, you know, the only thing about it is it's at this stage of the session. And do you think there's enough time to get something? This is significant, and this isn't your typical fourth year of a quadrennium type of thing.
It's not. It really isn't. But, you know, we fail to keep, I guess you'd say, outside interest. I know you saw what happened in Georgia.
Right.
22 counties that voted for Trump.
Voted for
Democrats in this. Now, you know, and listen, I'm the first one to say I'm for all types of energy, whether it's green energy or nuclear energy or solar, whatever it is. But, you know, economy and technology will dictate when that's available. So you can't just force this green energy on the economy because it's just, it would raise our rates. It wouldn't lower them.
Do you think this solution does get to the heart of the matter, which is utility rates and the perception that, you know, they're higher than they need to be, whether that's the economy or not? That's the perception. Does this get at that problem? Does this strike at that?
You can only hope. You know, I think it's the best chance you have to do that. You know, you know, like I said, the governor's responsible to the entire state. So him having a cabinet member that's over the Public Service Commission or whatever you want to call it, the energy secretary, I believe you have a better chance of doing it because, you know, it's everybody's in business to make a profit. And I guess Alabama Power or the gas companies, whoever, all under these commissioners, they still have to, you know, pay their employees and buy their product and pay these high fuel prices that we're paying at the farm. But still, I think there needs to be a little bit more oversight, and I think this gets it there.
Senator, Big Creek Lake, and I know it impacts your district because drinking water and
sure.
Where are you on that and taking it, what seems to be a kind of a local fight and bringing it here to this building?
Yeah, it's sad that we have to do that sometimes, but, you know, I feel like Ma's got a little heavy-handed, a little quick with what they did. You know, people have been fishing in that lake for, gosh, decades, 30, 40 years, maybe even longer, and just to cut it off all at once like that, I think that was a bad move. And they should have gradually eased into some type of transition. I think they're working on that now. I think they're working on trying to get rental boats and things like that in there. Just kind of wait and see what happens. You know, we all want safe, clean drinking water. But there are other areas that get drinking water out of lakes that are also used for recreation.
Right.
So I think if it can be done in other parts of the country, it could be done in Mobile.
It's just that, like you said, it just sort of happened overnight, it seems like.
Exactly.
And when started asking questions, there was sort of maybe not the most transparent response that people would have liked to have heard.
Yeah, I think so. Like I said, I think they had the attitude it was their football and they were going to play with it and didn't want nobody else playing with it. I mean, I think that's the attitude they took. Maybe that's the wrong analogy, but you know, that's kind of the way I felt, like they were in control and shouldn't be questioned.
We'll get you out of here on this. I know you got to get to a committee meeting, but budget's coming up. Got general fund, Senator Albritton. You feel good about where those are?
Well, you know, revenues are probably tightening some, but I feel pretty good. I don't think we're certainly not at 2011, 12, 13, 14 levels when I was in the House. So, you know, it's not the rosiest picture in the world, but it's not, it's not those drastic days that we had back then.
Well, it's just you have this inflationary environment and the dollar doesn't go as far. So even though the budgets are growing, they're not really keeping up with the demand or the value of the dollar.
Exactly. All contracts are running so much more. You know, everything's overrunning. One of the few things, believe it or not, is doing well is our state house is coming in ahead of schedule and under budget a little bit.
You got to miss anything about this building?
The mold.
I was asking the pro tem, like, is there anything redeemable? Because he does a salvage business, and there's nothing in here worth saving.
Oh, I wish the air conditioners were working upstairs.
Yeah, it does.
It's been hot up there on the 8th floor lately.
Well, Senator, we appreciate your time. I know you got to get going, but thanks for stopping by.
Great to be with you, Jeff. Look forward to doing it again one day.
State Senator David Sessions, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a time out of here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. You look into my-